Verse 19. And it says right here, it says, verse 19 of chapter 20 in the book of John, St. John. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. See right here where the disciples right here, they had gathered together. But they assembled, and the reason they assembled all together, the reason they didn't go different places, there was one that did. And the one that left on his own, it wasn't that he had the fear of the Jews, like the other said right here, said that where it says the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And the reason they had the fear of the Jews, because they knew the Jews would come around and they found and they got where they was at, that they would kill them. Because they knew that they had followed Jesus on earth and they had went about going and doing the things that he asked them to do. But at this time, they had lost all the faith that they had. And the reason they lost their faith is that Jesus wasn't there. Now, we as Christians today, we can look at it in the same way. The reason a whole lot of time we may lose our faith is because Jesus is not there. Jesus hasn't answered the prayer that we've prayed for. But even that, knowing the Lord Jesus is there to answer the prayer request, he's not going to answer just because we come at a certain time or we come with a certain prayer request. Because it says in his word, it says, his mind is not like our mind. We need to have the mind of Jesus. Jesus does not need to have the mind of us, because if he had the mind of us, then he would be no way of, at all where he would be the Savior of the world. So, the Lord Jesus, he hung down that day at the cross, and he was thinking about a whole lot of things. He was thinking about Peter, and he was thinking about the other disciples too. When he had left them on the wayside, and he was traveling in a different direction, and they was going to a specific city and everything, and he knew the one that was going to deny him, that said that they weren't Jesus, they weren't the Messiah that I was with. There was someone else that I was with. They said, no. Says, but he sure did look like the Messiah. The ones that everybody is talking about, he sure did look like him. You know, we as Christians today, we as people, if we don't watch it, we'll do the same thing. We'll do the same thing by when somebody speaks to us and asks us about this or that or what's going on at the church or what ain't going on at the church, what kind of message is preached, what does the preacher use, what kind of Bible does the church as a whole believe in. And if they ask these questions, we must come back with the answer. We must not tell them that I need to go home and I need to think about it. It's some things that we don't have to think about.
It's one thing, it's some things that we need to know about. First of all, we need to know that if we ain't in church, what are we hearing? Are we hearing God's word? Are we hearing somebody else's words? Whether or not reading the same type of scripture. Or they say, well, I heard y'all do this down to church and y'all do that. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. When we get to church, we have a good time. People down there, they talk, they so friendly to one another. People come in, they friendly, they go up, shake your hand, everything. We need to let people know what happens, what goes on in the church. We don't need to let them guess in what's going on. Which, really, if we've done that, we can take each one of us, and one day that we could go to town, we could all go to, say, to the mall there. And we could spread out, go one by one. And we could have people asking us about the church. And we can go back and we can start telling them about the church. Now, I'm not putting nobody down, but there's likely that's going to be 7 different answers to the question that they may ask. But there should not be but one question that they ask us. And it should not be but one answer we give them. And you say, well, what's the answer we should give them if they ask us? What does the preacher preach? What kind of Bible does he use? I've even had people to say, I don't have no idea what he uses. I don't know what he uses. That's up to the people to find out what the pastor's using. And then if the pastor comes back and says, it's none of your business. Then when he does that, then the next time you come to service, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're a boy or a child, if you're a member of the local church, you need to stand up right there and say, I make a motion to dismiss this pastor. They said, why would you do that? Well, first of all, the pastor was wrong by telling the individual that it was none of his business. Because it is the business of God. And if we're here to serve God, then we need to know what the pastor believes. There's a church down in North Carolina, no, right there at the edge of North Carolina, South Carolina. Been a few years ago now. That pastor was on vacation for a solid week, him and his family. And he come back to church the following Sunday, and he stood up and he made an announcement. He said, he was telling all the people, he said, I've got an announcement, and I want everybody to hear this. I don't want silence. I don't want nobody talking. And he, on the front row, 2 or 3 rows or something like that, had some kids there. And the kids was kind of, they was, you know, talking among themselves and stuff. You know how kids are. But he went over to the side and he pointed at the kids. He said, what did I say? He said, I said, I'm complete quietness. So if I drop,
this pencil right here on this carpet that everybody in here can hear it hit the carpet. That's how quiet I was.
And he come back and he said this. He says, I've been a pastor for here at this church for 28 years. I've been preaching the King James book ever since God called me to preach. And I believe the book from cover to cover. And he says, I've always used the King James Bible. But that is a proven fact. That I've been preaching a lie
all these years. I've been preaching that God says in his word that he is merciful to us, to a sinner. He will save us to the uttermost and to the guttermost. And he will. He'll save you from the uttermost to the guttermost. But when you die, you're going into one department for the saved. Then you're going into another department that's in heaven for the ones that's lost. He said, there is no hell. There is no hell. And this one elderly lady, she, and I thank the Lord for her, she stood up and she says, I'm not going to call you a preacher. I'm going to say, sir, you're wrong. You're absolutely 100% wrong. Because you said, if there's no hell, then there's no devil. And if there's no hell and no devil, then there's no sin. And if there's no sin, there's no hell, there's no devil, there's no sin, there's no God. Because that's what God created. That's the reason that he calls his son the only begotten Son of God. The wicked, we had to go to him. Why? Because of that word begotten. Begotten.
Oh man, you know what happened next? After he stood up and said that, he went and started preaching and everything. As soon as he said the amen, he didn't give no invitation like he'd been given. Well, see, I reckon he felt like he used to give no invitation to have no hell. Everybody's going to heaven. Just depending on the apartment you're going in.
But before he could get through with his prayer, in a corner over here, going down that hall, going through that door, going into the hall, there were seven men in the church. Walked right down that hall, and right down here. Walked right straight through them doors. And they went in there, and they says, one says, can you believe what the pastor said? He says, I'm going to tell you, he said, you're calling me believe. He said, but if he believes that way, and if he does, we don't need him in this church. We don't need him coming tonight. We don't need him coming back Wednesday night. We don't need for him to come and present a resignation to the church that he is going to be leaving the church. No. We need to go out there. And I'm on it because we need to do it the way he's trying to do it now. We need to go out there and say, Parisha. And I'm going to say, and I'm using that loosely. He said, you're fired. On the spot. If you've got any stuff here in the church, you get it right now. And once you leave these doors, you will never come back to this church again. They even called a locksmith and paid him three times the price to come down right after that and change the lock on the doors. That's exactly what they should have done. They should not have brought it back before the church. They should not have done nothing else, but done exactly what he done. Why? Because he was there to restore that church. We don't need people in here to destroy the church, because we're having too many Christians today, so-called Christians, that's doing the job. That's tearing it up.
We'll say, pretty well, how are they tearing it up? Are they tearing it up by not coming?
Are they just tearing it up because they don't believe in the King James Bible?
That's not the reason they're tearing it up. That's not the way they're tearing it up. That's not what they're using to tear it up. You know what they're using to tear it up? The tongue.
They don't have to spend but 5 seconds. This tongue right here in 5 seconds can do more damage than another individual can do. Work all day long trying to build up a church. We're having people out here. It's damaging the church. It's damaging the church. Why? Because they don't believe like we believe. Why? Because they don't think that we want the best for them. But we do. I'm like Jesus. I don't want to see nobody die in your head. I don't want to see nobody. God and go to hell. Because the Bible teaches me that if you're one of God's people, if you're one of God's chosen people, and if God, you know, see, God chosen people, and if, you know, that's the predestination now. When you get into predestination, you can go in different directions with that. But when God uses the word predestination now. He used it, said, when he was there in heaven, when he was creating the earth, when he was creating the ocean, when he was forming the animals and putting them in their right place. And then when he was speaking, then when he created man, when he created Adam, he didn't stop that. He created woman. Why? Because God did not want Adam to be alone. Ever since then, to Adam, this is before the woman come now, there was not a living soul that was going to ever be born that God did not predestine them. See, two people come together, they have disagreements, they have arguments, and I've had people say, I've been with her for 70 years, and I've never had a disagreement, never had an argument.
Well, I don't know what kind of argument that they have. I don't know if they consider an argument by going out here and getting something and beating them to death, or getting a pole and going in that and tearing the furniture up. Or is it their mouth or whatever? But yes, anything, listen to anything that's not pleasing to God, God will probably say it's an argument. Why? Anytime we disagree with what God's on here at the church, anytime we disagree about what's going on within our lives, anytime we disagree on the Word of God anywhere at all, what we are doing is we're arguing with God. We say, God, it's not the way I read it. Well, son, the reason they ain't the way you read it, the reason you ain't seen what you've read and what's there, is because you have not grown that much to handle what's there in that particular verse. But when you grow to the point that you need that verse, you can be speaking to somebody about something else, and all of a sudden, the light will come on. God will just take a strain.
And put a strain. Turn that light on. He'll turn that light on in your mind and in your heart. And then when you come to realize right then, you'll say to yourself, I didn't see that before. I couldn't understand. I didn't see that. That won't doubt before. That word won't doubt before. Well, how did you get there? If it won't doubt before. Did God all of a sudden just miraculously touch that specific verse and provided that word to be put in that verse the way you can see it, the way you can understand it? No, that word has always been there. We just didn't understand it at the time. But see, that's when we have the Holy Spirit. That's the reason we have the Holy Spirit. That's the reason we must love and we must cherish the Holy Spirit, because of what He means to us. We should know and we should trust the Holy Spirit when that light is turned on, that word will appear to us just as plain, and the meaning will come out of that word. The biblical meaning will come out of it. Just for who? Just for me. See, I learned it. I need it at that time. There's a whole lot of verses in the Bible I don't understand. But I don't dwell on it. I don't dwell on the fact that I get so upset with myself. I used to. I used to get upset with myself because I would read the same verse. I would read that same chapter over and over. And I'd get through it with that chapter, and I'd go right back to the front of that chapter, and I'd read it over. And I'd read it over, and I'd read it over again. Why? Because I thought when I read God's word that God was going to give me what was there. But God's not going to give us all of it in one setting. I believe that God will take
And he can touch the minds of each one of us to where we know it's God, and we know that he's the only one that can bless. He's the only one that can touch our hearts. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Now, Father, we have a little business that we need to tend to this morning. And, Father, it's not going to take that long, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be with us with that. Father, help us, O Lord, to make the right decisions that will be pleasing unto you. Not to be pleasing unto me. Not to be pleasing to Brother Bill. And not to be pleasing to the people. But Father, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to us if it's okay with you or if it's not. Father, we thank you. And Lord Jesus, we pray. God, that you be with each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.